Well, Daniel chapter 12, I think you should know where we're going tonight. Daniel chapter 12. The moment I begin reading here in verse 4, we'll read down to the end of the chapter. I hope you've enjoyed the book of Daniel.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I've learned a lot.
Praise the Lord.
And I've learned some from this passage here tonight that I will see at the end that are very interesting things that are said to Daniel. You'll hear them as I read them in a few moments here. But if you remember, we're dealing, and I'll say this again in a few moments, with this final vision of Daniel. And this is kind of here the concluding, wrapping up of it, remarks that the Lord gives to Daniel. And so we'll read just the end of it here. If you're able to stand, why don't we stand together, beginning in verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished.
Amen.
And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel. For the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth, and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt have rest.
Amen.
Excuse me, for thou shalt rest.
Amen.
And stand in thy lot at the end of the days.
Amen.
That's it for Daniel.
Praise the Lord.
What's it mean? I don't know. We'll find out. Let's pray. Father, I pray your blessing now upon the preaching of your word. Lord, I yield myself as best as I know how to thee, asking you to please fill me with thy spirit. Help me, Lord, to say the things that are pleasing to thee and make the proper application of what's being said in this book to our lives today. I need thee, Lord. Please remove any distractions from this room and from our minds. Lord, I do pray if there's someone here tonight that is not saved, today would be the night they get saved.
Amen.
And for those that are saved, Lord, wherever we are on this journey of the Christian life, I pray that you would use this message to bring us closer to thee, to take that step forward, to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ,
Amen.
That our lives may be pleasing to thee. So please help me tonight as I preach, for we ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. For the past four chapters of the book of Daniel, Daniel had received from God four different visions, four different prophecies at four different periods in Daniel's life. These visions, remember the context of them, specifically concerned the future of his people, the Jews, the nation of Israel. That's what really this book of Daniel's about.
Amen.
You look back with me, and I repeat this on purpose to chapter 7, we find the first vision. It occurred, if you'll notice verse 1, in the first year of Belshazzar. The first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. You know the vision. We dealt with this. It was a vision of four great beasts depicting the four Gentile world empires that would exist. Babylon, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire, and its three stages. Its conquering stage, its end times stages of the Ten Nation Coalition, and its final stage, that revised Roman Empire, known as the Antichrist stage. The second vision, if you'll see in chapter 8, notice verse 1. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, 2 years later, this time Daniel sees not four beasts, but two. He sees a ram depicting the Medo-Persian Empire, and he sees what the Bible calls a he-goat, depicting the Grecian Empire. What was God doing here? God was explaining to Daniel the details of a great persecution that would come upon God's people under a man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes, a Grecian leader that typified the Antichrist. Now again, this is all review. That's why I'm skimming over it. We have the CDs available if you'd like to listen to them. And then in chapter 9 and verse 1, we see the beginning of the third vision. 10 years later, we read, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, this is Darius the Mede. God, in this vision, would reveal to Daniel, and the big word you want to remember in this vision is the word when. When these things would come to pass. This was the vision that we refer to as the 70 weeks of Daniel. Splitting it up in 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and then that 1 week, 7 year period that is yet to come that we know to be the tribulation period.
Amen.
That was the third vision of Daniel. Then look at chapter 10. We find the fourth and final vision. This vision was not one chapter, but three. Chapters 10, chapter 11, and chapter 12. It took place, notice verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. And we find that chapter 10 being the introduction to the vision. Chapter 11, the vision itself. And then chapter 12, what we read most of, not all of it tonight, verses 1, 2, and 3 could be looped in with or grouped in with chapter 11, but chapter 12 would be the conclusion of the vision. What is this vision about? Well, the heart of it is found in chapter 11. In chapter 11, we find in verses 1 through 34, God would reveal to Daniel the events that would take place from the days of Daniel in 536 B.C., the days of Cyrus the king, all the way down through the Grecian Empire, to the year 168 B.C., and the reign of that man I mentioned already, Antiochus Epiphanes, I'll say it again, a type of the Antichrist.
Amen.
And the events that were concerning the Jews. But what's interesting about this vision is in verse 35 to verse 45, and through to chapter 12, for that matter, Daniel now projects, or should I say God through Daniel, now projects this vision forward in time to the time of the end. Look in the middle of verse 35. Even to the time of the end. He's talking here in this last portion of primarily, but also beyond, that 70th week of Daniel. The tribulation period. An event that takes place after the rapture.
Amen.
When the Antichrist, we know, will rise to power.
Amen.
And boy, he tells Daniel a lot.
Amen.
He tells us through Daniel how this Antichrist will become the head of a one world government. He'll lead this world through the confusion of the rapture and the calamities of God's judgments. At first, he will be a friend to the nation of Israel, bringing peace to the Middle East, supposed peace, signing a treaty with Israel. But then halfway through that time period, he'll break that treaty. And he will turn against the nation of Israel, and he will severely persecute the people of God. Ultimately, the armies of the world will converge against the nation of Israel there in the valley of Megiddo. This, my friend, is the height of the tribulation period. But it's at this time that something wonderful happens.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ, when we read of it in Revelation chapter 19, returns in His glory to this earth with His saints. And He arrives and He puts down the enemies of God. He casts the Antichrist and the false prophet into the lake of fire forever. He binds Satan for 1,000 years through the millennium. Praise God for that.
Amen.
It's also at this time that God, Christ, will resurrect the Old Testament saints and the tribulation saints. He will have there in that valley of Megiddo what is called, or we refer to, as the judgment of the living nations. Christ spoke of this in Matthew chapter 25, where the lost will be cast into hell and the living saved will enter in the millennium, and the Lord Jesus Christ will set up His kingdom and He will rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. The Jews will inherit their land.
Amen.
By the way, they're going to get the land. Amen. They will fully possess it, and He will rule and reign for 1,000 years.
Glory to God. Amen.
You know, we read of this resurrection in Daniel chapter 12. Look at it with me in let's look at verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth, notice, shall awake. There's that resurrection. Some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever.
Amen.
Thus ends the prophecy and the vision of chapter 11 and chapter 12, which brings us to our text. Here in our text, we find the final words of God to Daniel. For the most part, the vision is complete, although He's going to fill him in on a few things. But I'd like for us to notice something very specific that kind of caught my attention when I was reading this passage, that Christ says to Daniel in verse 13, something that you and I could use tonight, I believe. Amen. Notice we read, but go thou thy way till the end be. Notice the phrase, for thou shalt rest.
Praise the Lord.
Tonight I want to preach on the subject. For thou,
amen,
believer,
amen,
shall rest.
Praise the Lord.
That's almost contrary to what God was just saying to him. He just got done telling him all of the future turmoil that's going to take place. He said in chapter 12 of a trouble like the world has never seen. He's describing this to Daniel. But he says, for you, Daniel, for you, believer, may I apply it that way? It's a different story.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You are going to have rest.
Thank you, Jesus.
Why is that? Because he knew the Lord.
Amen.
Can I ask you tonight, do you know him?
Amen.
Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because if you do not, there is no rest ahead for you.
Right.
Only trouble and turmoil. And if you die in that condition, an eternity in a place called hell where there is no rest.
Right.
I encourage you tonight to get saved, that you might experience this rest that's for the believer.
Amen.
I want to see what we can learn tonight. It's an amazing pieces of this last portion of Scripture that we can find here. Some things we can learn from these concluding verses of the book of Daniel. Notice first of all, number one, the closing of the Scriptures. You say, what do you mean by that, the closing? Well, look what he says. It's amazing in verse 4. He says, but thou, O Daniel, notice these words. Shut up the words. And seal the book. even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. You see, the visions that God has given to Daniel in chapter 7 and chapter 8 and chapter 9, and then primarily in chapter 11, understand something. They have now concluded. Everything that God was going to say, other than a few comments here that I'm going to mention in a few moments here, He said. He's told him all. But now Daniel is told, get this, to shut up the words, to seal the book, even to the time of the end.
Amen.
What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, let's take it apart. Notice, first of all, number one, the meaning of shut up the words. What does that mean? Well, what is he saying here? Why is he saying close the book? Why is he saying it, hide it, if you will, from people? Do not ever forget that understanding the Word of God, when you read it and you understand it, don't miss what it is. It is a supernatural event.
Amen.
You say it is? It is.
Amen.
It absolutely is. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned.
Amen.
God is saying that a lost person cannot understand the Bible. Now, they may understand certain facts about historical things, but the spiritual essence of the Bible, a natural man, a man without the Spirit of God dwelling in him, cannot understand it.
Right. Amen.
This is the doctrine that we call illumination. It is God enlightening the mind with understanding. So understand, when you are reading the Bible and God illuminates the Scriptures, He gives you understanding to them. Again, it is a supernatural encounter with God.
Hallelujah.
It's not because of anything you've done. It's not because of intelligence. It's not because, well, I have this degree, therefore I can understand. That's how the world thinks.
Right.
They have this idea, well, I'm a smart man, so certainly I can understand the Bible. No, you cannot without the Spirit of God.
Amen.
It is a supernatural thing. So understand, to shut up the words is when God makes it so that the Word of God cannot be understood.
Amen.
You say He'd do that? Yes.
Amen.
So that it does not make sense. It will not be clear to the mind of the reader. And Daniel is told here, shut up the words.
Amen.
Does that make sense? Well, it does in the context. You see, the book of Daniel deals with God's plan for the Jews.
Amen.
Don't miss it.
Amen.
And so to the Jew, to the Jewish unbeliever, and I'll get to that in a moment, the book of Daniel, along with really in application, the entire Bible is a sealed book. It is a closed book. It is closed to their understanding. They shall hear and not understand. They shall see the words, yet they will not perceive. It has become, this book to the Jew has become an undiscernible book. It's true.
Right.
You and I will read Isaiah 53, and we'll read what the Bible says about the Messiah, what He will be like, what He will do. We'll read other places, Daniel 9, telling us when He'll be born, Micah 5, where He'll be born. And as we read through Isaiah 53, reading how this Messiah will be bruised for our transgressions, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. We look at that today as Christian believers today, and we say, hey, how can you miss it?
Amen.
How can anybody read that and not say that's the Lord Jesus Christ?
Praise the Lord. Amen.
But the Jews don't see it.
Right.
And you say, why? Don't they have it? Yes, they do. Because the book's been closed.
That's right.
God has made it undiscernible to them. Why? Well, that gives me my second sub-point. Not only the meaning of the seal, the reason of the seal. Why would God do that to somebody? Could He do it to me and you? Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Absolutely. I'll get to that in a few moments. We're headed there. Why would God seal the book of Daniel from the Jew? Why? Well, perhaps we can get some understanding from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Let me show you what I mean. Hold your hand here and go to Matthew chapter 13, because I think we'll understand why. Excuse me. Notice Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, we find the kingdom parables. Now remember, the primary reason the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth was to go to the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
To die for the sins of the world, to pay your sin debt in mine, so that you and I, if we repent of our sin and trust Him as Savior, will have eternal life.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
That's why He came.
Praise the Lord.
But He also came to teach about living the Christian life.
Amen.
And here in Matthew chapter 13, we find what we call the kingdom parables. And notice what He says as He's speaking in parables in verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto Him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given.
Right.
Why is that? Why? Why, when He speaks in parables, they see and they do not? Some understand and some do not. Why is that? Verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables. Watch this. Because they seeing see not.
Amen.
And hearing they hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. Why? Here it is. For this people's heart is waxed gross. And their eyes are dull of hearing. And their eyes they have closed. You ever take the Bible to someone? And I've done this on many, many occasions, witnessing to someone. And I will try to show them from the Bible how to be saved. And we should all pray, by the way, when we're witnessing to people,
Amen.
That the Spirit of God breaks through the hardness of their hearts. Because there is a hardness in people's hearts because of unbelief.
Right.
I can't tell you how many times I've taken Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 and said, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. I said, look what it says. The Bible says it's written that there is none. I try to help them out here. I use my head and I use everything I can in my body. There is none righteous, no, not one. And I'll turn to them and say, so according to the Bible, how many people are righteous? And they'll go, huh? How many people does it say? And I'll try to give them a hand. There is none righteous. How many people are righteous according to the Bible?
Zero.
And I want to say, it's an English word. It's not that difficult. N-O-N-E.
Amen.
Say it with me. None.
Amen.
How many are righteous? But they say, What's wrong? Their heart. Their heart is wrong. That's what the Lord says here. That's the reason. Let's read on. Where are we? In verse 15, I'm going to read it again. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Notice here's the key. It's going to be my next point in a moment. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear.
Amen.
You see, the reason that the Scriptures are closed to the Jews, or to anyone for that matter, is because of a hard heart of unbelief.
Amen.
Because of a refusal to repent a refusal to turn to God. They had ears to hear, but did not hear. They had eyes to see, but did not see. And so as a judicial act of God, He has blinded their minds.
Amen.
To the Scriptures.
Right.
Under God's judgment.
Right.
Because of their heart. Isaiah 6:9 puts it this way. And He said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears." He's saying to the prophet Isaiah, you're going to go, you're going to preach, and they're not going to listen. They're not going to understand. They're not going to hear what you're saying, because their hearts are hard, and they're blinded
Amen.
To the truth.
Amen.
Can't even understand the simple truth. Now, lest you doubt me still, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3.
Amen.
Because we see it once again. Oh, we could go on and on with this truth.
Right.
2 Corinthians chapter 3, notice in verse 14. But their minds were blinded. For until this day, he's speaking of the Old Testament saints under the leadership of Moses. And we read, their minds were blinded, for until this day, notice, remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, notice, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil, notice, is upon their heart. They don't see it. There's a veil there. There's something in the way. They can't understand. But notice, if you will, in verse 16, nevertheless, when it, talking about their heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away.
Amen.
That's the truth.
Amen.
It's an absolute truth. As far as the Jews are concerned, again, the book of Daniel, the Scriptures, they're a sealed book. And it has been sealed because of the blindness of their hearts. May I say this? But not forever.
Right.
You see what I mean by that? Go back to Daniel chapter 12. Because we see the meaning of the seal, the reason for the seal, but notice the timing of the seal. We read something interesting. But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Notice, even to the time of the end. What does that mean? Do you know that whenever an individual, whether it be a Jew or a non-Jew, turns to the Lord, the veil is lifted.
Amen.
The blindness is removed.
Right.
Now understand, for the Jews as a whole, and by the way, an individual Jew today can trust Christ as Savior and understand the Scriptures today. But as a whole, there is a blindness there. Oh, it's so sad when my wife and I were in the old city of Jerusalem. We see these people at the Wailing Wall there, these priests, these Jews, these conservative, traditional Jews doing their bowing to the wall and putting their prayers in the cracks of the wall. And this goes on day after day. And you want to say, hey, the Messiah's come already.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is here.
Praise the Lord.
But they don't see it. They don't see it. But thank the Lord, some do.
Amen.
Thank the Lord, there are Jews that come to know Christ as Savior. But understand, as a whole, it is not until the 7-year tribulation, that's what it's going to take to get the nation of Israel's heart right with God.
Amen.
It is during that time after the rapture when this world is in chaos and people are, as the passage says, many shall run to and fro. We could talk about that for a long time. And knowledge shall be increased. Some say that's describing the end time and the traveling that will be available and the knowledge that shall be increased. But perhaps it means this. It's going to be a time during that tribulation period where people are running, the Jews are running to and fro, searching for answers, trying to find out where the truth is. A time when everybody has a philosophy and knowledge is increased. But it's at that time they go to the Scriptures with an open heart, and the Jews will finally, as a whole, recognize their Lord Jesus Christ. as the Messiah.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
And when they do that, their understanding will be open. Let me show you something. Isn't it interesting that at this time Daniel says to the Jew that shut up the words and seal the book. Would you turn with me, holding your hand here? We will be right back to Revelation 22. And let me show you something John said on the island of Patmos.
Amen.
Look at verse 10. There's the angel speaking to John, and he saith unto me, notice this, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. In other words, the book that was once sealed, it's going to be unsealed for the Jew.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Now, can I make an application to us today for the believer? There's an important principle here. Very important principle. Our understanding of the Scriptures is directly related to the condition of our heart.
Amen. That's right.
Our understanding of the Bible, again, it is a supernatural event. If you come to the Bible with a mechanical mind, just trying to get through your devotion with no heart in it, and you're not trying to seek the Lord, you're not trying to walk with God, He's not going to open up truth to you. But if you come knowing Him as Savior, loving Him, desiring to hear from Him, and you're willing to obey what He says, you come with that kind of heart, what's God going to do? He's going to open it up for you. He's going to show you some things that are so wonderful in His Word.
Amen.
Do not take truth for granted.
Amen.
The closing of the Scriptures. Then I want you to notice, secondly, not only the closing of the Scriptures, the clarity for the saints. So here's Daniel now, and he says, close up the book. So Daniel looks in verse 5. And he is still standing, as we read back in chapter 10 and verse 4, when this prophecy began, when this vision began, if you remember. He was standing there by the river Hiddekel, which is also known as the Tigris River. And he is being spoken to by, I believe, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here he sees, notice in verse 9, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, I believe that's the Lord Jesus Christ, which was upon the waters of the river. Notice, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? So Daniel sees two angelic beings, one on each side of the river. And one of these angels turns to the Lord Jesus Christ and asks Him this question. How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? Now remember, Daniel was just shown in chapter 11 from verses 35 all the way to chapter 12 and verse 3, all of the things that would take place in the second half of the tribulation when the Antichrist breaks the covenant with the nation of Israel. And look what he says in verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, which when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time. Get it now? A time. Watch my hands here.
Amen.
A time. Times.
Amen.
And a half.
Right.
That's three and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished.
Amen.
And Daniel kind of goes, He's hearing this conversation between Christ and the angel. And Daniel says in verse 8, and I heard, but I understood not. And so now Daniel wants clarity. Daniel himself says in verse 8, oh my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he goes on to tell them. Let's read on. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the end, the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. Watch this. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Daniel, I have more to say. I see you don't understand, but the wicked, the lost, I'm not going to tell them.
Amen. Right.
But I'll tell you.
Amen.
Verse 11. From the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. What does that mean? You see, preacher, we came to church to figure that out. You're supposed to tell us that stuff. I don't know. I can give you what I think. I can tell you what most Bible commentators say. Because understand something. The 3.5 years using a 30-day lunar month is only 1,260 days. Christ is telling him something that's going to happen in 1,290 days. And then another thing in 1,335 days, 45 days after the tribulation. What could this be? I don't know. I really don't. I know you're thinking I'm going to come up with something great. Well, actually, I do have a speculation from what Bible scholars say. Many Bible scholars believe that this is referring to the following, that it will be when Christ returns and he puts down the armies of this world, it will be after that tribulation that he is going to judge the nation. 30 days after that, by the time it'll take him 30 days to gather all the nations of the world in the Valley of Megiddo. And when he gets into that valley, it's going to be the judgment of the nations. Evidently, it'll be another 15 days until that takes place. And so then he'll set up his millennial kingdom. I think that fits in the scriptures. Maybe you think so or not. Look at it later, but I'll read it again. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Watch this. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. Those that are entering into the millennium after the judgment of the nations that will take place 45 days after the tribulation. Blessed be them.
Amen.
That makes sense.
Amen.
You say, well, I got something different. Well, tell me after the service. But here's my point. God tells Daniel what he's going to do.
Amen.
Did you hear that?
Amen.
God gives Daniel some insight to what he's going to do.
Praise the Lord.
Do you know that one of the blessings that you and I have that the world does not have? We have His Word.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And in His Word, it reveals to us His plan for the world.
Amen.
And you and I know today ahead of time what God is going to do.
Hallelujah.
We know that the next event on God's calendar is the rapture.
Amen.
We know that after the rapture will be a 7-year tribulation.
Right.
We know that after the 7-year tribulation, Jesus Christ is returning again.
Amen.
He will put down the enemies of the world. He will judge the nations. Amen. And He'll begin His millennial kingdom.
Amen.
And you and I will be in that kingdom.
Praise
if we're saved.
Hallelujah.
To rule and reign with Christ.
Amen.
For 1,000 years.
Right.
So let me ask you something. Does that information change your life?
Amen.
Does that information that God... By the way, there is a fruitful knowledge of the Bible. And there is an unfruitful knowledge of the Bible.
Amen.
Here's what I mean by that. An unfruitful knowledge of the Bible is someone who just likes to find all the information out. What does the Antichrist look like? What's he look like? Don't say he looks like you. Don't say that. Get by Zoomy. Where is he going to come from? How many hairs will come out of his chin? And we get so absorbed with information that we forget what the information was given to us for.
Amen.
God did not tell us all these things just so you and I can stand up or have a website telling everybody what we know about everything. God deliver us from those people.
Amen.
I'll tell you what. No. That internet. I'm telling you, everybody's a know-it-all on the internet. But let me tell you this. I want to say this. What are you doing with that knowledge?
Amen.
What are you doing with what you know? Why aren't you here for soul winning on Saturday? If you know everything that's going to happen, if you know what's going to happen to this world, where is your heart of compassion for a lost and dying world? We'd rather sit on our little throne and tell everybody how we know everything about everything.
Right.
My friend, put it into action.
Amen.
The clarity of the Scriptures. Jesus said to His disciples in John 15:15, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you."
Amen.
Why did He do that? So they would go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen. Right.
That's why He tells us these things.
Praise the Lord.
That's why. So what are you doing with what you know?
Amen.
You see, the knowledge of all the book of Daniel. I mean, I've preached through the book of Revelation. I've preached through the book of Daniel
Amen.
Now. Has it changed you?
Amen.
Has it stirred you?
Praise the Lord.
Or are we just filled with knowledge? By the way, knowledge puffeth up, the Bible says.
Right.
It is absolutely a waste of time if we do not put what we know into action. If it doesn't cause us to have a burden for souls.
Right. Amen.
So we see the clarity for the saint. The closing of the Scriptures. The clarity for the saint. And then thirdly and lastly, we're done right here. The comfort for the saint. Notice in verse 13, "But go thou thy way till the end be. For thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days." Lord tells Daniel, He says, "I want you to go your way. Keep serving me. Keep living for me. Thou shalt rest."
Amen.
"And you're going to stand in your lot at the end of the days."
Amen.
"You're going to be with me."
Praise the Lord.
You see, with all the details that God has given us in His Word, He assures His children, those that are saved, don't fret about this. Don't worry. Don't get upset. Don't wring your hands when you see what's happening in this world.
Amen.
By the way, I need this part of the message more than anybody, perhaps. So you guys just listen to me preaching to myself. Sometimes I look at what's out here, and I'll tell you what, I can get twisted. Is anybody else like that with me? With all this liberalism that's going on in churches around us, one church after the other, going contemporary, all the sin that is out there, all these laws that are being passed, all these things that are happening in California, trying to outlaw the Bible.
Amen.
My flesh. I want to have a in the temple like Christ moment. Man, let's start throwing things over. But you know what the Lord says to me? No, don't do that. You go thy way. You keep serving me.
Amen.
And you rest in me.
Right. Amen.
The Lord says, I got this covered.
Praise the Lord.
I got it covered. Don't get twisted about this stuff. Don't think how we're going to do it. Don't think what's going to happen to America. Don't think this and that. You just keep serving me and you rest in me.
Hallelujah. Amen.
You know, no wonder the Lord said to His disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled." Don't let your heart be troubled. No wonder He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." No wonder He said in Hebrews 4:9, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." And the truth of the matter is, there are very few Christians, I would say, are people of rest.
Right.
We're so fretted, we're so uptight about things. Folks, this is God's plan. It's going to happen. We cannot stop it.
Right.
But you know what we can do? We can go our way.
Amen.
We can keep knocking on doors. We can keep running buses. We can still keep the Institute. We can still train people. We can still have vacation Bible school and youth camp. And we can still win souls for Christ no matter what's going on in this world.
Praise the Lord.
It's not a thing for you and I to fret about.
Right.
Get upset about. Our God will take care of us. I hope tonight you know Him as Savior. I do. Because if you don't know Him as Savior tonight, you need to fret. You need to worry. Because what's waiting for you, I'm sorry to say, it's the truth from the Word of God, is an eternity in hell. But Christ wants no one to go there. He died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. You can escape the eternity in hell by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Right.
But you know what? I'd probably fret a little bit too if I wasn't serving Him. Thinking about the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
Thinking about we're going to face Him. Maybe tonight there's some folks that say, you know what? I need to get some things straightened in my life. Right. Maybe you're here tonight and you're just a twisted mess over what's happening in this world. The problems that are happening in your life, the problems we're seeing in this world, the laws that are being passed, all of these things that are going on. I'll tell you what, it's enough too, if we're not careful, make us fret. But maybe we better go back to the cross tonight.
Amen.
And remember, we have a Savior
that's
going to take care of us. Let us all go thy way and rest. Rest in Him. Let's pray together.